newly released documents from the CIA are shedding light on a series of shadow operations surrounding the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. A recent piece in Axios explains how the declassified records reveal a covert CIA operative had direct contact with Kennedy's assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, in the months leading up to the president's death, and then later worked to mislead Congress about that connection.
With us now, the author of that piece, White House reporter for Axios, Mark Caputo. Mark, thanks so much for being with us. Fascinating. It appears that the CIA has lied for 62 years about this gentleman who ran an operation that came in contact with Oswald, and also the CIA lied about standing up a student group involved in anti-Castro activities. Tell us about it.
His name was George Joannides, and he's one of the more interesting characters to emerge later in the narrative of what we understand about the JFK assassination and the way in which the government hid documents and evidence and information about it. For years, he was unknown. Then in 1992, the movie Oliver Stone film JFK came out, created such an uproar that Congress, in a rare act of unanimity, passed the JFK Records Act, requiring disclosure of all records from all agencies related to the JFK assassination by 2017. That got delayed by various reasons by two presidents, President Trump and President Biden, albeit information was slowly released, but not all the information. We're still waiting on all the information. And in 1998, this little piece of paper caught a researcher's eye. Jefferson Morley is his name. And he noticed that there was a person named Howard who appeared in these documents heading this student group called the Cuban Student Group, or known by its initials, its Spanish language initials, the DRE, based in Miami. However, they had operations in New Orleans. It was a bunch of Cuban exiles who were anti-Castro. And about 105 days before the assassination in Dallas in 1962, these Cuban students wound up in a confrontation in New Orleans with Lee Harvey Oswald. And then they wound up debating Lee Harvey Oswald on local television. Oswald then went to Mexico, then later on was accused of shooting President Kennedy. But after the assassination, immediately after, partly because of the work of the student group and the media attention, everyone knew Lee Harvey Oswald as a communist. And the question was, well, did the CIA have anything to do with the student group? And the CIA the entire time said, oh, no, we had nothing to do with this. We didn't know anything about it. Turns out they did. George Joannides, the Miami-based operative or officer who was the branch chief or assistant branch chief specializing in psychological warfare, I'm not making this up, was the guy who ran this group and went by the codename Howard. When then asked for years who Howard was, George Joannides had been appointed by the CIA to be a liaison with the House Investigative Committee 15 years after the assassination. And Joannides told all the investigators from the House Committee, I have no idea who Howard is. We have no record on him. Well, that's because Joannides himself was Howard. He was then given an award for helping obfuscate with Congress and lying to Congress about his involvement. The CIA also lied about that as well. And in 1991, he passed away. But as a result of that dogged work by Jefferson Morley trying to unearth those files, we now know as a result of Thursday's release that Joannides was indeed Howard, and he did lead that group, and that's what the records show.
Mark, in terms of why these documents, though, were released on Thursday, could you connect this to the larger call for transparency that has certainly been ancient but is reinvigorated under the Trump administration, obviously?
It is. I can't say exactly why it was released on Thursday, but it was released late Thursday, and for months, or better said, for years, these documents had been pushed for by these JFK researchers. Incidentally, under the JFK Records Act, there's a kind of sort of a complicated process of getting a document or documents from an agency, having them go to a review board, and then having them go to the National Archives and then be released in what's called the JFK Collection. The George Joannides files from the CIA was never supposed to initially been released under that structure. As a result, though, of President Trump's order to disclose everything, this was put on an accelerated time frame. Now, I can certainly understand, especially considering the CIA's past behavior, why people are suspicious that this was released so late on the July 4th weekend.
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. With the partial release of a long-suppressed CIA file on July 3rd, the decades-long mystery surrounding the JFK assassination has entered a new chapter. Oversight of CIA records related to President John F. Kennedy's 1963 assassination has shifted from longtime gatekeepers to Director John Ratcliffe. For the first time since 2017, the CIA is beginning to comply with the 1992 JFK Records Act, which requires the immediate release of all government-held JFK documents. Previously unreleased CIA records are now being made public. The first wave of disclosures confirms a fact the agency had long denied. A CIA officer was involved in monitoring Lee Harvey Oswald, the accused assassin of John F. Kennedy. Oswald, who denied the charges, was himself killed while in police custody 2 days later by Jack Ruby. This release follows a request from Florida Representative Anna Paulina Luna, who is the chair of the House Task Force on the Declassification of Federal Secrets. In response, the CIA declassified 62 previously redacted pages from the personnel file of George Joannides, who led the Covert Action Branch at the agency's Miami station in November 1963. The newly revealed George Joannides file sheds light on the CIA's deeper involvement in the events surrounding JFK's assassination, offering fresh insights into one of the most scrutinized moments in American history. So who was George Joannides? He was a covert CIA officer who ran psychological warfare operations in Miami in 1963. He directed and funded the Cuban exile group, DRE. The DRE had direct contact with Lee Harvey Oswald just months before JFK's assassination. So what does this file reveal? It reveals the CIA concealed Joannides' role for over 60 years, repeatedly denying any connection between him, the DRE, and Oswald. Joannides used an alias, Howard Mark Gebler, and a fake driver's license to manage covert operations. He later served as the CIA's liaison to the House Select Committee on Assassinations in 1978, who was reinvestigating the JFK assassination. Joannides withheld key information about his own activities from investigators. The newly released documents confirm that Joannides obstructed investigations and that the CIA actively covered up its ties to Oswald and the DRE. So why do these documents matter? They contradict decades of CIA denials about knowledge of Oswald before JFK's assassination. It adds weight to theories suggesting a broader conspiracy, or at least institutional deception, surrounding the events of November 22, 1963. They show the CIA actively concealed Joannides' role from investigators. The files also suggest a systematic cover-up that raises serious questions about the agency's transparency and possible complicity. So what impact does this file's release have on JFK conspiracy theories? It strengthens the claim of a CIA cover-up. The CIA lied for decades about Joannides' identity and role, denying knowledge of Howard despite internal memos providing the alias. Joannides obstructed investigations by withholding key information from the House Select Committee. These files add credibility to the Oswald was manipulated theory. Oswald's interactions with DRE, funded and directed by Joannides, suggest he may have been used to create a narrative linking him to Castro. It also supports the ideals that Oswald was a patsy, just like he said he was. These files also fuel broader conspiracy speculation. The CIA's psychological warfare and media manipulation raise questions about international narrative shaping post-assassination. The timing and secrecy of Joannides' reappointment in 1978 suggests a deliberate effort to control the investigation. The Warren Commission and later congressional inquiries were compromised by Joannides' concealment of his role. Investigators like G. Robert Blakely and Dan Hardaway had publicly stated that Joannides obstructed justice. The Joannides file marks a pivotal breakthrough in understanding the public slaying of the 35th president and why justice was never served. It exposes a CIA operation involving Lee Harvey Oswald, sanctioned by senior officials, that was deliberately concealed from every official investigation into JFK's murder. A fake driver's license reveals how Joannides' operation targeting Oswald was quietly, quote, taken off the books in early 1963. One of the declassified memos shows Joannides was commended for obstructing congressional inquiries about his agent's ties with Oswald. These documents, along with newly released JFK records, tells a story the Warren Commission never heard. The commission concluded Oswald acted alone and unaided, but the Joannides file offers a glimpse into the CIA's shadowy activities in the months leading up to Kennedy's death. This file details George Joannides' role as a respected undercover officer running an unauthorized CIA operation in late 1963. This operation illegally targeted American citizens, spread propaganda about Lee Harvey Oswald, sparked an anti-Castro riot in New York, may have recruited assassins to kill Fidel Castro, and it also influenced media coverage after JFK's assassination on November 22, 1963. Despite widespread media consensus that recent JFK files don't challenge the official narrative, that was before the Joannides file came to light. This file, along with other newly declassified material, challenges the lone gunman theory. It reveals that Oswald, Cuba-related activities were under intense scrutiny by the CIA's covert action chief in Miami during JFK's final months alive. This interest was never disclosed to investigators, the public, or even the CIA itself. Whether Oswald pulled the trigger or not, the story buried in the Joannides file was deliberately hidden for 62 years. This file raises urgent questions. Was Oswald merely a propaganda target who slipped through the cracks? Or was he manipulated into becoming the patsy for a larger conspiracy? Or is there another explanation for these long-suppressed events? While the Joannides file doesn't answer these questions, it points to the other still classified documents that could illuminate the CIA's role in the lead-up to JFK's assassination. In a phone interview, Representative Anna Paulina Lunas said, quote, "It's one thing for the CIA to promise transparency. It's another thing when they actually deliver," end quote. She called the release of the George Joannides file, quote, "the powerful symbol of the new transparency the CIA and intelligence agencies are striving for," end quote. A 2023 Gallup poll found 65% of Americans believe JFK's death involved a conspiracy. The George Joannides file adds credible evidence to support that belief, especially regarding CIA deception. We'll see you next week. If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. In honor of the release of the JFK assassination records, I'm sending out signed copies of my book. If you would like one of these, please email me at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. The price is $40 for the soft cover and $60 for the hardcover, plus shipping and handling. I can promise you, you won't be disappointed in the book. It's an oversized coffee table style book. The book is over 500 pages with almost 1,000 pictures. You won't be disappointed. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com.